started. Father, I thank you for your eternal blessed word. I thank you for your strength, your might, your power, and everything that's contained in your word to build us up and give us an inheritance among those that are sanctified, that will cause us to be born again, not born of the flesh, but born of the spirit. For your word says that you begat all of us by the word of truth, that we should be a type of first fruits of your creation. Bless my mouth and bless the ears of the hearers today, that this will not be a formality, but this would be something that would either indict the hearts of those of us that have become weak and lax, or incite those that are weak and lax to do better. Your word is not neutral. It will accomplish what you sent it out to do. And Lord, if all of the things that we talk about today, we have came up to the mark where you want us to be, then I ask you to fully equip us so that we can help and train others so that they can reflect your glory in this wicked and this ungodly world. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. Again, I'm excited to be here with you all. I've already told you that before, but because of time, and I want you all to have the opportunity to either disagree or agree with what I've said, that's fine. Should I call and put on the conference? Will you do it for me? I'll just give it to you. Since the headset is on it, we'll take care of it. That way I have a double recording just in case. That's something that she can do over there. You'll have to take it off Bluetooth to hear it when it gets on. Okay, precious? Discipleship. Last week we talked about discipleship, and is it necessary? I would suggest to you that discipleship and being a follower of Christ is the same thing. Yet there are people that make a false dichotomy or a bifurcation, for those of you all that like words since you're in college. They make that split that should not be there. There is no follower of Christ that's not a disciple. There is no person that is a disciple that's not a follower of Christ. Following Christ means to know what Christ wants you to know and to walk therein. Listen to what we're going to talk about today. We got up here discipleship. It has a mindset of love. Now, if I were to ask everyone in here, do they love God? I guess I would see a lot of hands go up. Well, I'm here to tell you today, if I ask you, does God love you? And do you believe that God loves everybody? No doubt, maybe most of the hands would go up except those that have heard me talk before. But I'm telling you now, God's love is not enough to save you. As powerful as God is, his love is not enough to save you. Why would you make such a statement like that? First of all, God has parameters. God will not violate his own word. He will not deny himself. He is not a liar. And God has set paradigms of which he works in, and he reveals it to us through his word. Now we know, and we may cover it today, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4, and 5, he told Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, etc." Am I correct? If I'm not correct, we can turn to it. But remember, we got a time limit. But when Jesus was asked, what was the great commandment? He went back to the Hebrew scriptures that we call the Old Testament, and he told them that the great commandment was to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Listen to Jesus talk about it. In Matthew, you see it up there, chapter 22 and 37. Listen to what the Bible says here, because I got a point to make, that there's a mindset of a disciple, and the mindset of the disciple is the thing that allows them to obtain the promises that God has. And why is this important? Because everything in your world is to take you away from the love of God. Jihad, even things in your school, even things in our culture, is to take you away from God and to accept the things that God hates. Even sometimes our churches will do that, to tell us we don't have to be obedient to God.
Yet the Bible tells us in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation for those that obey him. We make it seem like it's a hard thing. That is an anathema, a curse to tell us that we have to obey God. We say Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's grace. It's grace. It is grace. But what does the rest of the scripture say? It says, "For we are his workmanship, created unto God for good works." That's what the Bible says. Jude, the brother of James. If you look at it, Jude, this is the last little page before you get to the Revelation. It says, Jude, to tell you the brother of James. He doesn't tell you he's the brother of Jesus. In the third verse, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, it was needful for me to write unto you of the common salvation." And guess what he says? "I need to tell you that you need to earnestly contend for the faith." Contend means fight. He said, "For certain men, they crept in unawares." He said, "They are ungodly men. They were foreordained of old." And he said, "They turned the grace of God into licentiousness." Let me use a newer translation, unto license. "And they denied the only Lord God." Notice he doesn't say Savior. "They denied the only Lord God and Jesus Christ." And he said, "I'll put you in remembrance, though you once know, or though you once knew. The people, after God saved them out of Egypt, he destroyed them that didn't believe." They were saved. He destroyed them that didn't believe. He said, "The angels that did not keep their first estate but left their own habitation, he reserved them into everlasting chains of judgment, of fire unto the judgment of the great day." He talked about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah going after strange flesh were left for an eternal example. See, if you don't understand, God saved Sodom and Gomorrah. When you read about Sodom and Gomorrah in the 19th chapter of Genesis, they had already been saved before God destroyed them. You go back and read in your Bible in Genesis chapter 14, you'll see that some people came to Abram and said, "Abram, they got your nephew Lot. There's a war with kings, and they've captured Sodom, and they've captured these other four nations, and they got your nephew Lot." And Abram, being a man of God, got 318 of his own trained men, went and rescued and saved them. But when they came time for them to hear Lot talk, if you read 2 Peter chapter 2 and 3, you'll see Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. But when Lot tried to tell them what to do in Genesis 19, they said, let me say it in American, "This dude, he came here to live with us. He ain't gonna try to tell us what to do." You see, what happens is whenever you tell people God's word, they start looking at the package instead of what's in the package. You understand, some people just went through the thing with Easter, and you'll have some that will go through Passover, and they put the emphasis on Pesach, Passover. But when you look at it, Jesus was marred above every man, the scripture says, and we did not esteem him. He was stricken, smitten of men, and he didn't look like who he was. But the song you all just sang was, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe." Do you have the mindset of love? Listen to what the scripture says here. It's very beautiful here. In the 22nd chapter of Matthew, verse 37, Jesus is answering a question. Normally, I would go and give you all of the background, but I know when I want to stop. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." When you allow someone to make you afraid to stand for God's word, you're not loving God with your mind. You're afraid. You are violating what Jesus told his disciples in the 10th chapter of Matthew, verse 28, where he told them, "Fear not man that can kill the body." And Jesus said, "That's all that he can do. But rather fear him that after he has killed the body, can cast both body and soul into hell." He's actually talking about himself. Because if you read John chapter 5, he said, "The Father judges no man." He's committed that job to the Son. So it's the Son that will call his holy angels when they separate
the wicked from the righteous in heaven to cast them into hell. Yes, I have more scripture that will talk about that, but the mindset of love, let's deal with in particular why I would say God's love is not enough to save you. Do you see up there that I have James 1 and 12? It's important for us to understand why is it that Tim would say, okay, it doesn't matter that I say it, let's see what the Bible says. Listen to what the Bible says about that. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Do you understand? That's a qualifier. James, the brother of Jesus, who they used to call camel knees because he prayed so much for the people, he said, the crown of life is for those that love him. It's not for those that God loves. God has a providential love for everybody, but they don't all come into covenant with him. If I were to go to the 10th chapter of Mark and show you where there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus and he says, Master, what good thing? Well, he says, good, Master, first, what can I do to obtain eternal life? And Jesus looks at him, why are you calling me good? We have an idiom. Why are you blowing smoke? I won't tell you where, but why are you blowing all this smoke? Why are you giving me all these accolades? He said, you know the commandments? The man said, I know them. Kept them from my youth. Jesus named five and leave the other ones off. I'm sure there's a reason for that. He said, sell all that you have and come follow me. Last week, we talked about the necessity of being a disciple. And Jesus said, if a man save his life, he loses it. He that loses his life for my sake in the gospel will save it. Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, take up your cross daily and follow me. You got to enter into death. Yes, Jesus paid it all. He paid it all for salvation. But there's a price that you have to pay to walk with him. And he says it. And Paul also says that we die daily. But let's make sure that we understand. He that loves God, that individual receives the crown of life. Let's see if James says the same thing when he talks again. James goes a little further in James chapter 2, verse 5. In James chapter 2, verse 5, he's talking again when they're talking about partiality. You got one man come in, he looks good. Another man come in, he looks poor. They got a certain way that they treat one another. But listen to what he says in James 2 and 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Have not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? One of the most amazing things about the Bible is that I've found that the Bible is the best interpreter of the Bible. I can use a lot of tools and I have a lot of tools, but you know, you really need to make sure you're sticking with what God says. So if the mindset of a disciple is to love God, shouldn't we at least try to look and see how does God define love? See, if we can determine how God defines love, it really won't matter what I say or anybody else say. I mean, yes, I'm a pastor, so what? Who cares? In the real world, who cares? What we really care about is what the disciples say. See, I was in the army. And in the morning, they would get up, we'd wake up in the morning to something going, and we better lock up in attention when they play that. Do you think the trumpet got any glory for being blown? The trumpet was a tool. The disciple is a tool. He's a brother, he's faithful, and he loves God. Listen to what the Bible says. If you all will, take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 5. It's very important for you to see what the Bible has to say about love. Because if we don't know what the Bible has to say about love, we can guess at it all day long. And that won't make a difference. But I want us to go to 1 John 5. And let's look at about the 15th verse. All right. I want to start here, and it says 5 and 14. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Listen to this. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin that is not unto death, he shall ask, and God will give him life to those that commit sins that do not lead to death. I have a problem, and let me tell you what the problem is. I don't normally read in this version, and because I don't normally read in this version, I need to go back to the version that I read, and I try to read in a different version so it make it easy for somebody else to, you know, to grasp what I'm saying. Let me go to my version, and if you don't understand it, I go back to the other version. Is that fair? Okay, now let me go back to where I was, because I normally, when I read, it's almost like I'm quoting. I'll be looking and not looking at the same time. Okay, here we go again. And we know that he hears us. Who is us? Whoever the us is the people that John is talking about. And I will tell you, he is talking about those that believe God, because the first chapter said, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen and heard, which we have looked upon in our hands have handled of the word of life, the life was manifest, and we have seen it. Then he goes on to tell the people, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I'm going to submit to you that the power of being a disciple and loving him is that you're going to be able to produce for him. And so the production is what I'm showing you here. If he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have our petitions that are desired of him. Now go back to the first verse in John chapter 5, and I want you to understand that God has promised eternal life to those that obey him, but he's also promised that we would be fruitful if we have the mindset of love toward him. 1 John 5:1 said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him that is begotten. That means if you love Jesus, you will love the Father. If you love the Father, you love the Son. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Therefore, we should be able to know that we love one another. We love God. Still haven't got an explanation, but we at least getting some parameters of what we should see. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. This is New Testament. How many of you all have heard that we only live by the New Testament, not the old? How many of you all have heard that you can be a carnal Christian and you still can walk with God and die in your adultery, die in your lying, die in your slanders, die in your immorality, which will cover homosexuality, bestiality, or whatever it is that we do, pornography? Because I've been young. And I know what the titillation is of looking at the opposite sex on a video or on something. I know what that is like, and I know it's wicked, and I know that it's ungodly, because you're looking at somebody else enjoying something that God does not want you to look at, and what he doesn't like. And Romans 1:32 said, God not only judges the people that do those things, but judges those that find pleasure in it. Because I want your heart. I need you to love me. Therefore, he says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. What was one of Jesus' commandments? He says, 5:28 Matthew, as a man, if I look on a woman to lust after her, except that one, that's my wife. As far as I'll go with that, you have committed. If you look on her and continue to do that, and you think about what it would be like, you've committed adultery in your heart. Somebody said, well, it doesn't go for if I look at a man, you're telling a damnable lie. Well, it didn't say if a woman looks at a man. Understand, concerning God, we're all mankind. The man is not without the woman, and the woman is not the man in the Lord. I'm being biblical. Verse 4, for the sake of time. Well, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. The mindset of a disciple is to love God, and look at the benefit. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's go to John 14:28, because I said that the mindset of the disciple is to love God. And it's imperative that we know what it means to love God. In John 14:21, the Bible is going to show us what it is to love God. And also verse 23 is going to show us what it is to love God. And I'm telling you now, loving God is not an emotion. It is not an emotion. Listen to what it says. I'm going to try to read it in another version for you. ESV. Whosoever has my commandments, this is Jesus talking, and keeps them. That in particular means to guard them, to observe them. He it is who loves me. Now, do you understand when it says that the kingdom of God is prepared for them that love him? Do you understand what God is telling the Jews in the Shema? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God. It's not about an emotion. It's about loyalty. It's about hearing my commandments and understanding what I say on any issue is right. And I say things about every issue. Somebody said he doesn't say anything about computers. He doesn't say anything about cars. You're telling a damnable lie. What do you mean, Tim? What does he say about computers? Everything that I have and everything that I use, I'm supposed to use to the glory of God. I'm not to be looking at it to try to figure out how to make a bomb to destroy somebody. I'm not supposed to be looking at it to try to get information on you and publish it on the web or Facebook and embarrass you. I'm not supposed to be looking at it trying to find something ungodly that I can do to somebody. Everything that I do is to the glory of God. And if I'm using my computer for something that's going to violate God, he's already spoken about it. Just because we use a different medium. If I were to take my ox and let it go through your yard and let it eat up the stuff, I have to pay you. So if I let my car run over your mailbox, I have to pay you. He's already spoken. As I would you do to me, so do unto you likewise. So he has my commandments. He it is that love me. He will be loved by my Father and I will love him. Did you see that? This is a different kind of love than providential. Here is a love that's predicated on you loving him. Did you feel it? I mean, I can take a long time to beat it, but I mean, you all have a class. I don't. And then it says, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Here is the one that I really like. Listen to this one. Judas, verse 22, not Iscariot, said, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? You see, because people say they have a personal relationship with God. And that means you can't say anything to them. He said, how are you manifesting yourself to us and not to the world? It's supposed to be a relationship that we as the believers or those that love God have it. And listen to what he says. Jesus answered and says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him and we will come unto him and make our home with him. That's how he's going to manifest. Any of us that loves God and keep his commandment, he's going to make himself manifest to us. But how can we say that we love God and don't read his word? I was at Chick-fil-A last week with my son. We had just finished some work in Lawrenceville. And I met this young guy. He was so gracious. He was so nice. I thought, oh, he may really be a Christian. And I said, I really like the way that you serve me. I said, you give good service. I really appreciate you. I said, are you a follower of the Lord Jesus? Yes, I am. I said, are you still in school? He said, yes, I am. I'm getting ready to go to college. I said, that's great. I said, are you studying God's word? He said, well, I'm not really reading it that much. I said, why not? Well, I just hadn't got around to it. I said, how can you be a follower of God's word and don't read it? I said, do you have a girlfriend? Yes, I do. I said, how old is she? He was 17, 22. I said, are you all having ungodly sex and fornicating? No, no, no. I said, you're getting ready to go to college. The temptation is going to be very high. Not only is it going to be high for that, it's going to be high to take you away from God. And then I just started asking him questions about God. He knew nothing. He just goes to church. Listen to what verse 21 says. Whosoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father has sent me. You want to tell me you love God and you don't keep his word? You're a liar. Somebody say that's harsh. Read the first chapter of 1 John. 1 John, he'll tell you right quick. If you say you have no sin, you're a liar. If you say you have not sinned, you're a liar. This is the one they call the apostle of love. We redefine love to make it fit our little culture. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my word. So if you want to know if you love God, if you got questions about your salvation, if you're not keeping his word, you need to have questions about your salvation. Because Matthew chapter 7, see, this is one of the advantages. When I was a kid, I memorized stuff in the Bible, okay? I used to be able to memorize a chapter in 2 or 3 hours. So some of that stuff is still in there. You know, whatever you put in there is in there. I'm going to tell you Matthew chapter 7 and 20. He says, not everyone that comes to me and say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. That's the mindset of the disciple. The mindset of the disciple is controlled by love, and that's by keeping his word. And you can say, Lord, Lord, all day long. You can raise your hand and hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, roll on the floor. But if you're not keeping his word, he's going to say to you in that day, he's going to say, I never knew you. You are lawless. That's what working iniquity is. He said, we cast out devils in your name. We did many wonderful works. And he said, I'm going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And when Jesus says, I never knew you, don't let people make you be confused and think he never had a relationship with you before. That's not what that means. You see, when you read Ezekiel chapter 18 and Ezekiel chapter 33 and Jeremiah 18, again, if you want to write it down, Ezekiel 18, Ezekiel 33, Jeremiah 18, and the individual turns from wickedness, God won't remember your wickedness. Don't think he don't remember it because he knows your thoughts are far off, but remember to hold it against you. So when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and do wickedness, he said, I won't remember your righteousness. You don't think he remembered that you used to do? You have to remember the idioms. I never knew you. I don't remember that to give you benefit from it. Depart from me, you that work lawlessness. I'll give you these two and then I'm going to stop. In Matthew chapter 12, 47 through 50, I'm not going to read it. Time won't allow it. Jesus had been teaching. He had cast out demons. They had called, said he did it by Beelzebub. And they said, your mom and brother outside. They want to see you. Jesus, who is my mother? Who is my brother? They that hear the word of God and do it. The mindset of a disciple is to keep his word, to do it. Now, they sung that last song that Jesus defeated Satan. What was the words of it? The last part, he defeated or did something with death. And I never heard the song before.
Death was arrested,
and that's when your life came. Listen to this. Hebrews 2 and 14 is very important that you hear this. This is so absolutely beautiful. Okay? I'm going to start, for the quickness sake, 12. It says, I will tell your name to my brethren. This is Jesus talking. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it was not angels that he helped, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. The point that I'm making, those that do the will of God, that's his brothers. Those that do the will of God, that's who he died for. Those who do the will of God, that's the one he defeated Satan for. Satan should not have preeminence in our lives. We should be saved from sin, not saved to go to heaven. What a blasphemous thing to do to God. We just sang Jesus paid it all and all to him I owe. And you want him to give you more and more and more and more and more like a child. Give me more breast. Give me another bottle. Give me a pacifier. And there's nothing I can give you. Grow up. Grow up. We owe him.
And all he's asking us to give is the fruit of our lips and a life of service. He died so that we can die to him. I'm not going to read it. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Paul says, we know that Christ died and we thus judge. The love of Christ constrains us that if one died for us, all are dead. And since we are all dead, we should live to him. And Romans 8:28 tells you the promise. The good things and everything work for your good if you love God. Keep his word. I got to stop. Time won't let you can't exhaust God's word. The heavens of heavens can't contain him, and my mouth don't know enough words to do it. But I can tell you the mindset of the disciples is to love God. And that's keeping his word. I want to stop here. Any rebuttal? Any question, any comment to add to it? Nothing?
Every time you speak, I always want to disagree with you, but I just know that you're right.
What part do you want to disagree with? Tell me. Well, talk your feelings.
See, the problem is that people fail to recognize Jesus for who he actually is. You know, people, when they read the Bible, they assume that he was just a good teacher or a mere man that came to change the political scene or be a hippie or whatever. Jesus never claimed to be any of that. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the resurrection of the life. He's basically saying, I am all that you've got, and you've got nothing else. And when you put it in that light, like, he demands our all. He doesn't want our halfway.
No. Did you want halfway of your wife?
No.
You can kiss me, but don't touch nothing else. Well, just put it where the rubber meets the road. Would you want halfway of your car? You can crank, but don't drive. He wants all. We sung it. You all probably have some people at this school that under certain orders will put you to death. Because if you really learn Islam, Islam demands all for Allah. I would submit to you that if you're in Hollywood, if you're in the music industry, they will demand all. Or else you'll be blackballed. If they say we won't hear anything about Jesus, and if you have to get up and use an obscenity with Jesus, you'll do it. If they tell you that if you want to keep the job, you're going to have to be naked in this thing. Unless you're big enough box office draw, you'll bend. Our society right now, they're telling us that we got to make it where we love God, and someone tell us to make a phallic or the genitalia of a woman on a cake and take it to these people that don't love God's wedding, that we got to do it, and they're going to take our business. Take your business. I'm not going to let Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand up to Nebuchadnezzar, who would burn you in fire, take your head off. And they stood up to him and they said, we going to do what God say, and I'm going to be an American and be scared? We are soldiers. Have you not read in 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul tells Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This bubblegum Christianity has caused us to have people right now where sisters can't find husbands decently. How old are you? Are you in your 20s? Have you noticed that the pickings are kind of slim? That ought not to be. Have you, men, when you really get close to God, have you realized that sometimes I got to compromise before I get somebody? Look how old he is before he's starting to get married. You think he just now turned into a man? And God knows when the Lord needs somebody to go out and stand and be a martyr or stand for the truth and lose their job. Or stand for the truth and call someone else to think, can he count on us? Do we love him? Do we keep his word? Or only when we're in that room where we can, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What about when they're making fun of you? What about when you're around people of your own ethnic group and some of the people in your ethnic group don't like people of another one? You don't have that kind of power over me. I'll say it, want to say it, baby. You know, I don't give you that power to tell me who to like. You know, until we get to where, and I didn't read it, but we can get it next week, every disciple that's trained fully will be as his master.